Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. We will also post a link to the LionShare website where you can follow along with Dana and his recent trading strategies. Dana, we're going to start off with the currency markets, more specifically the US dollar, because the dollar has been on quite the run here. You look back just to the beginning of this month, the dollar was in the high 90s. And, well, quite frankly, just in the last like four or five trading days, it has skyrocketed, almost gone vertical, especially when you consider that the dollar doesn't usually move to this degree. But it is, as we're recording this, over 103 on the dollar index. And I don't know where it's going to stop. I think a lot of people are assuming that there should be some slowdown here. But what's your takeaway from this general dollar strength?
My takeaway is that you should be long the dollar. It's actually been setting up for this type of a run for a while. So we've been long the dollar. Right now, we've taken a lot of profits off the table right here. We're actually testing just shy of 104. We're testing those highs from 2016-17, which basically the high for the last two decades. You have to go back to maybe the beginning of 2003 to see really a higher high than right here. So plus the high in early 2020. So it's possible that we do kind of consolidate, kind of digest this run here temporarily before what looks to us like it should eventually continue higher once it decisively clears that 104 level. But right now we've taken a number of profits, not because we think, you know, the uptrend is over. It certainly isn't. But right now the risk reward is not that great in terms of the very immediate term. So we've taken a lot of profits, but still in a strong uptrend. And like I said, once we clear that 104 decisively, that gives us a lot of room to run higher.
Well, Dana, when you think about the strong dollar, it typically pressures the commodity sector. And we've seen that to some degree. And we were talking before this call that for a while we were seeing commodities and the precious metals even all going up in tandem with the dollar. But then once it got over that $100 mark, it seemed like it started to matter. And all of a sudden commodities came under pressure, as did the precious metals. How are you looking at the commodities and precious metals sector now in light of this strong dollar?
Yeah, it's sort of the recent breakout above 100 kind of was the tipping point, it seems, for some of the commodities, some of the commodity related equities, especially because we are primarily an equity manager. But for us, that's where recent dollar strength has hit hardest, on those commodity related equities. Commodities in general have gotten hit a little bit or slowed down, but they're still firmly in uptrends, we think, just digesting that huge move they had up until a month or two ago. So commodities right now still look okay, still digesting that big move. Commodity related equities look a little bit dicier, and obviously you have the impact from the tough market in the equity land, you know, whether it's a bear market or a significant correction, you have that weighing on those equities as well. So right now I would say we're shying away from putting new money to work in terms of a commodity-related and material-related equities. In terms of commodities, basically standing our ground, trading within the range, and nothing has. We're not convinced now that most of those bull runs in the commodities themselves are over. Gold and silver kind of pulled the rug out from under us in the near term. So those have some headwinds for them here in the very near term, but even those have not necessarily broken their uptrends. We think those eventually do move higher again, put in another up leg, but challenged here in the near term. But most of the commodity land, despite the rallying dollar, have not broken down at least. So still standing their ground and still stand a chance to put another up leg in eventually.
Yeah, the base metals, energy, it still does look, I think, a little bit better than the precious metals. You look at something like copper, and it has pretty consistently put in some higher lows. But the stocks have started to sell off. Do you use the stocks as any barometer for where the underlying commodity price could go? Or is it simply sticking to the stocks, sticking to what your models say about that individual area?
Yeah, we treat them pretty much as their own entity. You know, we have models that pertain strictly to the equity market. So from that perspective, we can't forget that even though they might be they might have some headwinds or tailwinds based on their underlying commodities, they're still equities, and they're still going to be most heavily influenced by what the overall equity market is doing. But in terms of our investment selection model, we use a relative strength model, and so we'll go long whatever is working and short whatever is not working, whether it's a commodity, whether it's commodity-related equity, whether it's equities pertaining to whatever sector. So we'll pretty much treat them as their own entity. We're not going to, you know, sell, you know, our grain positions just because, you know, the ag companies are selling off right now and vice versa. So we'll pretty much treat every chart in its own merits.
Well, speaking of what's working and what's not working in the general equities, Dana, what is working? What's not working in the general equities? What has your eye at the moment? What sectors?
You know what? Nothing's really working at the moment. A lot of the defensive names had been leaders, and just the selling pressure got so intense that it got to the point where it pulls everything down, which basically is what always happens in the midst of, you know, the meat of a bear market or significant correction. They're still in good shape, I think. Staples and utilities and healthcare, they still look fine. Some of the commodity related sectors that I talked about that are getting shelled right now still look okay in the longer term. So the same sectors have held up fairly well. We're not doing a lot of buying at the moment. On the flip side, the stuff that we've been shorting, the stuff that has been hit the hardest, tech, growth, the NASDAQ, Europe, same things that we've been shorting heavily, we will continue to sell and continue to short. In the intermediate term, they still look challenged. Small caps, especially small cap growth, looks extremely challenged. So we'll be selling and shorting any rallies there still. The big development into the off in early this week, in addition to kind of an extreme increase in bearish sentiment, which could, you know, support a near-term rally, in addition to the fact that we did challenge some major support levels, some key support levels across several of the indices, the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Russell 2000, Mid-Cap 400. We saw a lot of major support levels tested. So we've covered a lot of our shorts actually early in the week, because we think there is some bounce potential here in the near term. We do think that stocks are not out of the woods yet. The broad market's not out of the woods. So like I said, we didn't do a lot of buying. We did cover a lot of shorts. Only thing we really bought was the internet sector, which was bombed out, but hitting some major support. So looking for a reversal there as a short-term trade, but focus right now really on the short term. This whatever bounce we do get until further notice, we'll treat it as just a short-term trade, just a short-term bounce, and we'll probably be looking to reload on the short side into a little bit more of a bounce here.
So it sounds like still very much the defensive positioning, Dana. That changes a lot from last year, at least until the tail end of last year, when you did start to get more defensive in 2020 after that COVID washout. Markets did just keep going up. When was the last time that you can remember that you have been this defensive, using that almost as a barometer for how long this environment could last?
Yeah, well, the COVID crash was the last time we're probably this defensive. Because that's the last time we saw the intensity of selling like this. That one turned around surprisingly quickly. I'm not sure that this correction, that this, if it is a bear market, that it's going to turn around and pretty much go back to the highs. That was kind of an anomaly. I think an event triggered sell-off or crash that eventually righted itself and went back to the status that it would have been in outside of, you know, that exogenous event that caused it. Now maybe it's more of an organic sell-off or bear market or correction, which is, you know, if it's based on its natural momentum and the fundamentals, then maybe we're in for more of a serious and more of a prolonged sell-off or bear market. So I would say at this point, we've seen an increase in bearish sentiment, which is a positive. Outside of that, we've not seen much evidence to get too optimistic at this point outside of some short-term trades. So our, as you know, we use all quantitative models, objective models, and our risk model did improve significantly towards the end of March, early April. Never did give a buy signal, never turned positive. Now it's firmly in the negative posture again. So we're not going to get, you know, substantially bullish or optimistic until that turns around or until we see much lower prices and hit potentially that next substantial level of support on the major averages, which is significantly lower at this point.
Well, just one more market that I think we should touch on just before we wrap up, Dana, and that is the bond market. I know that you block out most of the noise, that there is a lot of noise about the Fed rate hiking cycle and about interest rates going up. But there's also a lot of people I've noticed recently over the last week or two saying that they're going to take a stab at buying the huge dip in the bond market. How are you looking at the bond market right now?
Yeah, as you know, we're very bearish in the long term. We think we've bottomed the interest rate cycles, which, you know, it's been a pretty consistent 60-year cycle or so so over the last hundreds of years. We think we probably bottomed in 2020, and we're on the way up for many years or decades to come. That said, we're not going to they're not going to go straight up. So we did. We've been short for a while in the 30-year and the 10-year. We did cover a lot of our shorts. We've got what we think is some resistance on the 30-year around that 3% level where we topped out. So we've covered a lot of shorts. We actually have a trading long on in the 30-year. I think we could go down to maybe 270, 250. Be thrilled with if we got that on a pullback in yields. And probably at that point, we'd start reloading on the short, adding back further shorts. But right now, I think we're testing some short-term resistance within a longer-term, you know, upcycle in interest rates and tough market for bond prices and bond investors, which, again, if you're using that, you know, the traditional stock and bond portfolio makeup that's worked for, you know, the last 30, 40 years, you might be, if we're correct in the bond cycle analysis, in addition to what might be a more prolonged bear market in the stock market, that traditional way of investing, that traditional portfolio makeup might be in for you know a tough road for, you know, many years to come.
Yeah, very interesting. The change this year, started at the tail end of last year, is shedding a bit of a different light on markets that is changing a lot of people's perspective, rightfully so. It seems like a different environment that we're in right now, but we'll follow along. Next week's going to clearly be volatile on the back of that Fed meeting, probably quiet for the first part. We'll see how the markets digest whatever rate hike that comes out, and we'll see how the commodities react, as well as the broad averages. Just an interesting bounce back in the averages just yesterday on Thursday. Dana, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. Always appreciate your time.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.